The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
To see 4 years ahead of us that really have no parallel in American presidential or governmental history at that level. The left liberal, socialist, Marxist, communists who oppose President Donald Trump have made it quite clear they intend to harass, attack, abuse, slander, and defame President Trump every single day of his entire administration. Now, as for the vile, hideous cretins who pretend to be journalists, we know who they are, but who in fact are nothing more than fake news and propaganda hustlers, well, we already know what their intentions are. In fact, top executive at CNN, the crap news network, today threatened the president. This walking and talking and watch him, slimy, shaved-headed piece of fake news excrement is named CNN top executive Jeff Zucker, to be formal, and he specifically threatened Trump in a very veiled, well, perhaps not so veiled way, that CNN will work to hurt the incoming president's reputation on the world stage at every opportunity. What madness this is. But that's not all, because that kind of mainstream media trash isn't nearly all the president will have to be fighting, because the establishment already has key players surrounding him, most notably ex-RNC boss Reince Priebus, and he is, of course, the chief of staff, who has already begun to insulate and isolate the president from anyone Priebus or the establishment doesn't want to have access to him. Now, to further shore up the establishment machine being assembled around Trump every day, Priebus, who I am renaming Brutus Priebus, has handpicked another establishment powerhouse in one Jimmy DiStefano, whom we will call Jimmy D, as the man whose job it is to select the hundreds of key staff and employees who directly run the business of the presidency under President Trump, and who will virtually all, obviously, be more establishment cronies and players. And remember, I haven't even mentioned the highly dubious establishment vice president, Mike Pence, who is just one heartbeat away from putting a formal globalist right into the Oval Office. To talk more about President Trump's dilemma is former CIA agent and operative Robert Steele, back with us tonight, who has two articles today up on Rents for you, the second being the top story in headlines and entitled Trump Trips, Priebus, Spicer Betrayal, Deception, Gaslighting, and Lies, the war between two alternative forms of fake news. Robert, it's pretty crazy out there. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Oh, Jeff, I'm glad to be back. You have a great audience, and I've been really thrilled with the traffic to our website, which is certainly beating this drum about the establishment controlling Trump.
Good. I think I made some fairly accurate statements there, and if you would elaborate on any of those, I think the deck is sort of stacked inside and out, and Trump may not even know how much he is in jeopardy right now.
I think you're absolutely right. Trump did not expect to win, and as I've written in my Donald Trump, The Accidental President, which your listeners can find online for free just by looking for it, Donald Trump, The Accidental President. He wasn't ready for this. He was absolutely certain. And I really want to emphasize to people that all the bookmakers around the world were also certain. Putin was certain that Trump was going to lose. The fix was in. The system is rigged 12 different ways. Mm-hmm. So not only was Donald Trump not ready, if you will, and I give the man credit because having won by accident, he has been absolutely heroic. And everybody is saying and documenting that this man is working 20-hour days. He does not stop. But he wasn't ready from a counterintelligence point of view. He ended up having to make some bad deals. And one of those bad deals, I think, was taking in Rens Priebus, Brutus. And, you know, he's not really a Brutus. He's more like a Pratt boy, which is, I had to look it up. First time someone told me it's the kid that wipes the king's ass when the king can't reach. But in this case, I think Priebus is the establishment spy in the Trump camp. And Priebus is very deliberately, and this I know from very direct personal experience with Priebus, he is withholding from Trump the recommendation that Trump call for an Electoral Reform Act, which would immediately eliminate the members' dependency on financial donations, and it would also create paper ballots that would keep the Democrats from stealing the 2018 election. And, of course, it would shut up all of these people that are saying, you're not my president.
Right.
An Electoral Reform Act is absolutely the simplest, fastest way for Donald Trump to become everybody's president.
It's an essential.
And to bury the establishment.
The paper ballots alone, for God's sakes. We've got to go back. No electronics.
I really want to emphasize these are not my ideas, Jeff. These are ideas from thousands of activists who have labored over decades, and I simply aggregated them when I ran for president and started collecting these ideas. And also, by the way, DeStefano is in charge of filling 4,000 jobs, not just 4,000.
Hundreds. 4,000. Wow.
4,000 jobs. And those 4,000 jobs will not have Donald Trump's personal stamp on them because he has made a serious mistake in delegating the Office of Presidential Personnel to the establishment. Big mistake.
Yep. Agreed. Where are we with respect to what are we seeing already? We've got Priebus, and then we have Steve Bannon. Now, they would seem to be birds of a different feather. Bannon, I guess, was in charge of opening that press conference. There were 300 or 400 people there, not the chosen 76 or however many there are. How's that going to work out?
Well, I happen to be a fan of Steve Bannon simply because he's a disruptor and an iconoclast, and he speaks truth to power. That's the other thing Priebus is withholding from Trump. A number of people have suggested to Trump that he throw the press entirely out of the White House and that he create a Trump channel. And I think Bannon and Brad Parscale, who was Trump's data guy, his web guy during the campaign, they and Kellyanne Conway are working on something, but it's not enough. It's not good enough. It's not big enough. It's not sophisticated enough, and it doesn't deal with the range of topics that need to be dealt with.
Is it a Trump? Is it a Trump TV or Trump Internet / TV forum? Is that what we're talking about here? Although it's minimal.
Part of the problem is that these guys think they can just take the Donald Trump tweets and expand them by 100-fold and that's it. That's not good enough. You need to do actually two things if you want to create a proper public intelligence network. And that is, number one, you actually have to put substance out there. You have to have the cabinet directors brief their cabinets. You have to have experts talk about each of the threats and poverty and infectious disease, environmental degradation. You have to have experts brief each of the policies from agriculture through education and energy and health and justice and so forth. And water, of course, is huge, absolutely huge. What we're doing today in water is a crime against humanity for lack of government responsibility and lack of accountability for corporate criminal actions against public water. And they're not doing that. So they just don't know how to do a public intelligence network. The second thing that you have to have is polling at a level of granularity and responsiveness that none of them have actually conceptualized. I've got a couple of really, really talented polling people, one of whom refuses to work for a Republican, but I'd like Trump to relabel himself as the first independent president. And they have the capability of doing interactive polling on all issues down to the congressional district level, so that on any given day, Donald Trump can pick up the phone and call a congressman and say, hey, meatball, this is what your constituents think. Why are you not listening to your constituents? And then he can go to that district and do a town hall meeting, confident that he really does understand what everybody in that district wants. I mean, we're at the beginning of a whole new ball game in which the tools of the internet and the tools for communication between a president and the public and the public and a president have not been well developed, but they could be well developed very quickly. And my fear, my concern is that Trump is going to fall into the trap that's been laid for him by the Republican Party, which wants to see him fail. They want to see him fail fast. They want to see him fail big. Paul Ryan and Scott Walker and Rents Priebus are not Donald Trump's friends.
This gang of three is tied into Wisconsin, as is Dick Cheney. So we could call it a gang of four if you want to go back.
Well, Cheney is actually in Wyoming. I looked up where his
He spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, though, college days and so forth. But yes,
well,
he's not a native born.
Right. You're absolutely right. And you know, there's a lot of great land out there. There's a lot of bodies buried out there. And I look forward to seeing the day come when we can dig around in Dick Cheney's ranch.
That would be quite a field day, indeed. Reform. Paper ballots. There's one thing. Now, you rewrote a really good piece, which I have running also. Tell us about that one. You've got two other recommendations that you say are essential.
Well, you know, there's three things. In fact, I was just looking at a book on double government, and I think one of the things that Donald Trump did not come into government prepared to deal with was the fact that he's not actually in charge. You know, this goes back to John Kennedy and Arthur Schlesinger and trying to get the missiles out of Turkey. And the reality is that a president has to run multiple campaigns in order to manage the government. And the deep state is that portion of the government that just goes on and on, regardless of what the president thinks or wants. And they also have off-budget funding that's not controlled by Congress. CIA, for example, has a very hefty allotment from Saudi Arabia that funds some very bad things. Well, in fact, I was just thinking today, now that Pompeo's been confirmed, the first drone strike took place.
I'm going to go back to that in just a minute. Remember what we said. The first drone strike has already taken place. Go ahead, please.
No, I'm getting distracted. I need to come back to your two recommendations. But yeah, the first drone, I mean, Trump should order Pompeo to shut down the CIA drone program, period. No ands, ifs, or buts.
Until, as he said, we know what the hell is going on, end quote.
Well, look, I would close the program down simply because it's documented that for every two people on the target list, it
kills
98
ridiculous.
Innocents.
Absolutely ridiculous. Nobody knows what's going on with it. That's what he's got to find out. So it should be shut down immediately. I agree.
Well, and also CIA has no clandestine service to speak of. It's really not doing everything it's supposed to be doing. Pompeo's got a lot of heavy lifting ahead of him, and I'm afraid that the first thing he needs to do is get rid of a third of the people that are there. They are overweight and out of date. Now, coming back to the three things, Trump really desperately needs a counterintelligence function. And I'm afraid that Mike Flynn, for all of his absolutely superb credentials, is not the best there is in terms of telling Trump exactly where all of the landmines are across the deep state. Trump really needs to understand that the first priority is to make himself bulletproof against the establishment. He does that with the Electoral Reform Act. His second priority is to be able to force through legislation with his expanded umbrella. He does that with the Trump Channel. And his third priority is to keep from being assassinated, neutralized, or litigated to death. I mean, there are people out there now that are already putting together a massive series of lawsuits, and they're going to peck this man to death unless he neutralizes them first. So his third priority needs to be counterintelligence, and I don't see that happening.
Wow. All right. This is a tall order. I see the man really from within and from without his administration already seeing a remarkable opposition, very well-organized opposition, vicious opposition, stealthy opposition. I don't know how he's going to do it. He's one man. He's surrounded by people now who literally are working a dual agenda. They're kissing his rear end, and they're telling him he's doing great. But they're also pushing the establishment. That's the way they do it. And they're not going to stop doing this. Priebus isn't going to change. Jimmy D isn't going to change. None of the people they bring in will stay out of line. They'll stand right where they're supposed to and do what they're told to do. That's the way the game is played. So what can one man do? Can Kellyanne Conway sit down and say, President Trump, look, here's what's really going on around you? I would think she might do it. She's a very sharp woman.
Well, but she has no clue.
All right, let's talk about that. She is without bearings.
Well, look, she's a wonderful human being who is being viciously mocked. Tomorrow we have the YouTube, the 3-minute YouTube of Saturday Night Live turned her into a Chicago spoof. And it's absolutely very well done and really great fun. This is a woman who knows about polling. She doesn't know about power. She particularly doesn't know about secret power. Now, Steve Bannon certainly has some insights, and the Goldman Sachs guys certainly have some insights. And that's the other thing. I mean, between the Goldman Sachs guys and the establishment politicians that the Republican Party has put in, I would say the only people Donald Trump has that he can absolutely rely on are his family, Kushner, and his security guy.
Everybody are you okay? So you're excuse me. You're backing Kushner. You like this guy. You think he's okay. You think he should be involved with his daily
briefing. I have no idea whether he's okay or not, but he's married to the president's daughter. He's an Orthodox Jew. He seems to be non-ideological, and I think he's got enormous potential. So, again—
It bothers me, frankly, Robert, if he's a dual citizen, I don't care what his religious affiliations are, Orthodox or whatever.
Is he a dual citizen?
I don't know the answer to that.
I suspect that he's not, but if he were a dual citizen, I would certainly expect before he became an envoy that he renounce that second citizenship.
I agree.
That should be a qualification.
But would a Mossad agent or a de facto asset really care if they renounce their dual citizenship? They're doing a job. Could he be, let me just rephrase it, an extension, an asset, an adjunct of a Mossad tentacle?
I'm inclined to think not, but I'll also tell you the way I work. The way I work is I put counterintelligence on my family first.
Okay. Very good. All right. Let's go back to the CIA. How did he do when he went over to the CIA? How did that speech he gave them, that little pep talk, how'd that go over?
It was very, very badly managed. And I think that Priebus, I don't think Priebus is stupid. I think Priebus is deliberately letting Trump fail.
Already.
I would never have allowed Trump to, A, stand before the stars, and B, They don't show the CIA audience in part because some of those people are undercover.
Sure.
And they don't want to reveal sources and methods. But the reality is this was a hastily staged theatrical event. It should have been held after Pompeo was confirmed. And it should have included a full review by Trump of these people saying, these are the marching orders I've given Mike Pompeo. I respect what you're trying to do. I think you're doing it badly. You are either going to unscrew yourselves or you are going to be finding a new job. Basically, Trump did really rotten theater, and I'm very distressed, and frankly, had
well,
I been...
Well, he was tossed into a lose-lose situation, is what you're saying.
I suspect... You see, part of the problem is Trump doesn't have anyone that can really say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Priebus is a passive-aggressive who is eagerly letting Trump step on his own toes. I would have told Trump, you're insane to go over there,
especially in public.
Well, and not only that, on a Saturday. I got news for you. CIA does not work on the weekend, by and large. They're still in a peacetime mode. And so I would have said, you are absolutely crazy to go over there. What you need, and first of all, that's the other thing, is I don't think Trump completely understands that the CIA is the runt in the litter. The national intelligence community is largely in the military. And the largest pieces of it are the National Security Agency and the National Geospatial Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office. Those are the technical pieces.
Haven't heard of the National Geospatial Agency before. I've heard of all the rest, but that's a new one on me.
Well, that used to be the Defense Mapping Agency, and they are really extraordinarily ineffective.
So what Trump the hell do they do?
What's that?
What the hell do they do?
They're supposed to have maps of the entire world at the 1 to 50 military standard, 1 to 50,000, which is the combat charts that have contour lines so that you can tell when you're in defilade, which is a quaint little infantry term that we love very much, because when you're in defilade, it means a bullet can't get at you. It means you're covered by ground. But the NGA, although it has come up to speed on 1 to 50s for the whole world, it has completely failed to stay up to date. And so all of the maps that we have of the world are 10 years out of date, which means that they don't show the buildings and the bridges and the rail lines and the power lines that have been built or destroyed in the last 10
years.
That's
an essential defect, clearly.
It's huge, absolutely huge. And I've published your listeners at Phi Beta Iota, if they look at the widgets, they can find my widget on Fixing Intel 2, and they'll get my Trumpian recommendations, which essentially call for closing down two-thirds of the secret intelligence community.
All right. Hold on a second, Robert. We'll be right back after this short timeout. Talking with Robert Steele, getting some insights that you will find nowhere else. So stay right there. Okay, and welcome back, Robert Steele, and yours truly, and trying to inform and give you things to think about as you process all of this. Mike Pompeo is now the official CIA director, sworn in today. The vote, sworn in by Mike Pence, the vote was 66-32, with 15 Democrats voting for Mike Pompeo. Right now, Robert, what is the state of mind of the CIA? And we can start with the first stealth drone fatal attack went off today. So the killing from afar and above continues. Where is the CIA? There's got to be a lot of confusion there. How many people are coming and going? What do you expect?
Well, the CIA is a bureaucracy. Most of the people that work at CIA are basically pasty-faced drone dwellers. And they sit in their cubicles and they handle a computer and a phone, and that's their life.
Like any other big corporate bureaucracy.
Exactly. You know, and when these politicians pontificate about risking lives and so forth, I'm one of the lives that was at risk, and I was one of the tiny, tiny, tiny handful, a fraction of CIA's people are actually out on the street, and most of them aren't actually risking their lives. They're under official cover, and if they're for any reason picked up, they have diplomatic or they have some kind of immunity, and you know, they get out.
You know, why do we have this? Excuse me, but why do we have this this image that if you go to any major city or financial hub or something, you look down the street among the crowds and throngs, you're going to see probably one or two CIA people. They're everywhere. They're out there on the streets. They're putting their feet on the pavement or whatever they're doing, but they're there. You're telling us that this is really a very small percentage of the entire bureaucracy.
Well, let me give you something from open source. When the Iranians took over the Iranian embassy, they captured the four CIA people.
Four.
That were in the embassy under official cover.
Right.
And they were very, very and by the way, the four were basically a communicator, an administrator, and two case officers. Okay. They were very offended, and rightly so, when they discovered that none of them spoke Farsi. The dirty little secret about CIA is that it doesn't have a lot of real spies, and it doesn't have a lot of real agents.
That's a dirty big secret. Wow.
It's primarily living off handouts from foreign liaison.
Hmm.
So the Jordanians, for example, will give CIA stuff, and then CIA will pretend when they put it in the president's daily brief that they've gotten this from highly placed clandestine sources. In fact, it was handed to them.
So they get fed, and you talk about counter intel, they get fed obviously a lot of garbage and some good material, and it mostly comes to them. That's what you're suggesting. That's very interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes. Put to the test, CIA generally fails. And part of the problem is that they rely extensively on official cover, and they do not do gutters, they do not do provinces, they do not do low rent.
They don't do windows either, I guess.
No, these are people that like to wear suits and go to cocktail parties.
Oh, my. All right. So who's doing the intel work?
Nobody.
Oh, good.
All right. Now, I'm very familiar with the president's daily brief, and it's garbage. It's make-believe.
Uh-huh.
It's one-third lies, one-third stuff you could read in a newspaper, and one-third.
So they stitch all this together and present it as if it's really some state-of-the-art intelligence.
Yes.
A flow of high-tech information. Wow.
I was interviewed for an article about the secret intelligence community by a young lady from Vice magazine. And I absolutely loved the title of the article. It's When the Spies Become Like Old Porn.
Well, you got to give it to Vice for a title of a magazine, too. When the
really?
Spies Become Like Old Porn.
The intelligence community, which, again, I stress, CIA is the runt in the litter. The intelligence community is like the old porn industry. And open source intelligence is all the stuff that's on video from people who load it for free.
Wow. So they pull a lot of data off YouTube, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
In fact, they
scorn YouTube. I'm saying they don't do crap.
They don't even do that much.
Look, let me tell you very specifically. As president, I would want a daily dashboard. I would want a presidential daily dashboard that shows how the United States is doing against each of the 10 threats across each of the 12 core policy areas. I would
And when he's not getting, I'm sorry, but he's not getting that? That is,
no,
it seems simplistic. It seems like it should be a given. That he gets
getting,
that kind of thing.
He's getting a typed document, maybe with some pictures,
perhaps
10 pages, which purports to give him the latest stuff. Like
this is very discouraging.
Oh, believe me, I cannot overstate the banality of the secret intelligence world. You cannot, in your wildest imagination, realize just what crap it is.
Wow. Well, what you just laid on the table, to me, would be what I would think was already in place, like decades ago, half a century ago. when the old OSS was in business. The top 10 threats or the top 6 threats, where they are, where they're going, how it looks, take their temperature, take their pulse, give us the vital ingredients, all that. That's not what Trump is getting every day.
No. In fact, when Harry Truman created the CIA, he thought he was creating a central news agency that would make sense out of information collected by others. But in fact, CIA was created by Wall Street. Alan Dulles was a Wall Street lawyer who was sent down specifically to create a secret landing zone inside of the U.S. government from within which Wall Street could control the U.S. government. And that's exactly what it's become. And I have to stress there are 7 CIAs, not one. And so most of the CIA doesn't realize that it's part of the deep state. It's just good people going through the motions. But buried deeply within the CIA are people who have the capacity to basically conscript military aircraft and get free access to the thousands of military, the 1,000 military bases we have. Uh-huh. And they smuggle gold, guns, drugs, cash, and small children.
Elite. That's probably one of the reasons they were originally founded, was to take care of some of those things. Movement of illicit goods, information, drugs, yeah, all that. Of course. Amazing. But what I'm really amazed at is that these people now with their video game death drones, which I used to call them, I still do, sit back and actually pretend like they're accomplishing something. It's sort of like the CIA's shining cutting-edge technology, death drones. We can do this.
Well,
The cyber attacks and cyber this, but let's just go with the physical things. Boom, pow, let's kill those ISIS men. We can do it with our drones.
Yes, but it's not only a tragedy, it's a crime against humanity. I was asked by Intelligence and National Security, which is the top journal in our field, to review 3 books on drones, and I've done that. And my 3 books in one review should be coming out in some future issue of this journal. But the bottom line here is that we are killing military-aged males around the world simply because they're military-aged males and we have the power to do so.
Right.
And every time we do this, we are in grotesque violation of international law.
Mm-hmm.
We are also creating more terrorists than we're killing. For every 2 terrorists that we kill another 98 innocents, and we probably mobilize another 1,000 against us.
Easy propagation, that's a ratio that would work for me. I'm sure you're right. There's no doubt. It's an endless supply of new terrorists we're creating and have been. We watched this agony through 8 years of Obama. How many terrorists and potential terrorists did that guy create?
Well, and you have to give Dick Cheney credit, too, because Dick Cheney invaded Iraq not knowing that we would be unleashing the Shiite majority. I just cannot overstate the ignorance of the U.S. government. We don't have intelligence. And I want to bring up William Binney, who's one of the guys I admire. Binney is a senior executive service whistleblower from NSA. Mm-hmm. He actually created a lot of this global surveillance program, and he tried very hard to stop it from being used against American citizens. But Binney and I were speaking at a conference together in New York, and he said something that really resonated with me. He said the intelligence community does not exist to answer questions for the president. It exists to keep the money moving. And that is what it's become. Just like the Department of Defense, every aspect of government is 50% waste.
Keep the money moving. Remarkable. Pompeo, can he do anything in CIA to make a difference? Or is the bureaucracy going to overwhelm him and he'll just change a few names and places and reassign people?
Well, let's start with the good about Pompeo. You don't get to be number one in your class at West Point without being a rocket scientist. So whatever else he may be, Pompeo's probably the smartest guy at CIA. Now, the problem is, and Bob Gates said this on Charlie Rose, no one ever gets fired for being incompetent. Now, one of the things I'd like to see Trump do is make it easier to fire federal employees. I'd certainly like to see him cut back radically on the use of contractors who are basically overpaid underperforming.
Well, that was a burgeoning industry of Obama.
But we don't actually have an effective appraisal system, and we don't have a means of getting rid of people when they prove to be non-performing. We also have a very toxic bureaucracy. Most of the young people that come into CIA leave in less than 5 years because they simply will not tolerate the toxic bureaucracy that has been put into place at CIA.
That's a grim retention, right?
It is very grim. I would say that, I mean, please understand, in my Fixing Intel 2, I actually proposed to triple CIA in size at the same time that I cut the rest of the intelligence community by two-thirds. And I do that, for example, by eliminating the National Security Agency while transferring the 20% of NSA that works to a new Directorate of Signals Intelligence at CIA. So I believe CIA should become what it was originally intended to be, the Central Intelligence Agency. It should have a Signals Intelligence Directorate. It should have an Imagery Intelligence Directorate. It should have a Mapping Directorate. But we don't need new agencies for those three functions. We also should not be sending a spy where schoolboy can go. So I also propose an open source agency. Mm-hmm. CIA calls me open source. S-O-R-E-S.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
They're absolutely terrified of the fact that I can do 95% of what Donald Trump needs for less than $3 billion a year.
Well, I can see how they would be. Boots on the ground. Is it? They're just not there. And we're always thinking.
No, they're not.
The
human assets
are just not there. Let me jump real quick to cyber security, surveillance, and attacking and intrusion. Is that where the whole shift is going? Is that why these guys out in the field just waiting for data to be essentially handed to them?
We process less than 1% of what we collect. First, let me tell your listeners that I wrote the original warning letter to the White House in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I co-founded the first cyber warfare conference with Win Schwartau in 1992, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I introduced NSA to hackers in 1993. We simply have been grotesquely irresponsible about cyber. Now, let me point your listeners to a great book by Mark Bowden called Worm, The First Digital World War. And if they don't have the time or don't want to spend the money on the book, they can read the various book reviews.
Yeah,
my summary of that book said what this book makes clear is that there is no one in the U.S. government that knows anything about cybersecurity. All of the expertise is outside the U.S. government. The Cybersecurity Command is a joke. It's a bunch of reservists standing around counting the minutes to lunch break.
Wow. Well, when you compare what we allegedly know about the Chinese communist effort in cyber war, they're at it 27 hours a day.
Yes, but you know, one of the things you have to ask is what's the return on investment? Frankly, it doesn't do you any good to collect everything if you can't process it. And it doesn't do you any good to process it if you can't monetize it. And a lot of this surveillance stuff is noise.
But they are good at it. They can access and they can collect data. But what are they going to do with it?
Let me riff on that. The Chinese pioneered writing the electrical circuits in. NSA's dirty little secret is the Chinese have been all over their databases writing in through the electrical circuits.
Oh, how funny.
I mean, you're
talking about actually writing. Wait, hold on. I think you said something profoundly important here. They're writing in on the electrical circuits. Are you saying what I've been saying somewhat ignorantly because I don't know, but I've been guessing that the actual 60 hertz electrical service in the buildings can be used by hackers for intrusion and gaining access to computers. Your wall
Absolutely.
Electricity. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but you only have to go to Best Buy. If you go to Best Buy, you can buy something that allows you to plug your router into an electrical outlet on one floor.
Uh-huh.
And then on another floor, you can plug the exit. And so it's like turning your whole electrical system into an Ethernet. Funny. That's the basic principle.
Yeah,
the Chinese
see,
have been doing that for 20 years.
So they've been using that for access. How funny. And I've been saying this, that the actual grid that we have can and could be used for all forms of electronic media, entertainment, and anything else you could even imagine, telephonic communications. It can all be done right through the damn wall plug. But there are too many companies, cable companies and satellite companies and all that. They've got their turf, so they're protected. This is really, that's one of the biggest, I hope you're right about this. Nobody knows this, Robert. They're using
the electric power system. No, they don't. I mean, I have written about it on my website and elsewhere. Look,
but write again, if you would. That's crucial. Wow.
It's fog facts. Well, no, what's really crucial for me is not that they've been doing it, but that NSA has been lying to Congress about it.
Oh, yeah, that's big. Oh, sure.
And that's another thing. We really should be talking about this. NSA has been spying on all members of Congress and all presidents for decades. Russ Tiss came out with he's an NSA whistleblower. He came out a couple years ago and said that NSA was monitoring every one of Barack Obama's communications from the day he became a junior senator.
What's the point?
To blackmail him.
Because they can and because they're going to gain leverage. Okay,
yes.
You call it blackmail, whatever. So it's
yes.
all
well,
about
Senators
control.
McCain
so that,
and Graham have been blackmailed by the
well,
CIA.
I
just broke that story.
I could blackmail Graham. If you would look at the NSA under that rubric, are they running rampant? Are they rogue? Are they out of control? How big are they? How powerful are they? If they've got all this data, it would almost seem like they're unstoppable.
Well, look, first off, there's seven NSAs, not just one. Most of NSA is going through the motions. It's collecting information that it does not process. It's simply spending money. And then there are small rogue elements of NSA. Or not so rogue, they're institutionalized.
Right.
There's the portion that spies on Wall Street so they can do insider trading with their offshore accounts. There's the portion that spies on people directed by the president.
Oh, that's too funny.
The whole thing is out of control. The whole thing is not serving the public interest.
No, I would say that's an understatement. All right, we just have 2-3 minutes left. What do we want to hit on that we've not touched so far?
Anything that's a good question. I'm really concerned because the women's marches...
All manipulated. Soros and guilty of funding over 50 of the key women's organizations that participated.
I'm glad you brought that up because I really am concerned that Donald Trump is not understanding that he is going to be under attack every single day and he is going to lose. And the reason he's going to lose is because the Republican Party is not his friend.
He has no friends. Not in the media,
no.
Not in the political world. You just mentioned it. You're absolutely right. I agree. Wow.
But what kills me, Jeff, is that for three simple things. I mean, if he does the Electoral Reform Act, if he creates the Trump Channel and an open source agency to provide public intelligence, and if he ramps up counterintelligence inside of 90 days, he's president of all Americans.
Wow.
And he's bulletproof.
Yeah. The data that NSA has would give him a hell of an advantage if he wanted to, shall we say, misuse it or use it, however you want to look at it.
Don't go there. That's absolutely a non-starter. What he really needs to do is protect all of the members from being blackmailed. In other words, not only does he need to free the members from their dependency on corporate funding, but he needs to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with each member. Let's take Senator McCain, for example, and say, John, I know you've been blackmailed. I know they've got this dirt on you. I want you to feel like you are absolutely trusted and nobody's going to hurt you. And let's take blackmail off the table and let's do evidence-based governance.
Who's performing the blackmail for the most part?
CIA and NSA, among others.
Rogue units, or is this formal policy?
That's a good question. I have to say it's
both.
It's you know, it's really hard because it's not formal policy. It couldn't be formal policy or Mike Pompeo would be doing it. It's actually people within the organization. It's very, very gray.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very subtle. It's quite frightening, actually. And part of the problem, I mean, if you look at Chuck Schumer, I'm sure they've got dirt on Chuck Schumer, because Chuck Schumer warned Trump about not messing with the intelligence community.
Yes, he did.
And what that tells me is they've got dirt on Chuck Schumer.
But from what you're saying, they may have dirt on everybody. And if they don't have dirt, they'll make it up.
Yes, that's a very good point. You can destroy somebody even if they're pure.
Absolutely. In fact, in some ways, those are the easiest targets to take down because people suspect and respect them as being pure. But they're not, according to the CIA fiction or NSA fiction. They can take anybody down anytime. I think that's the bottom line.
Well, not anymore. And that's what's changed.
What changed it?
Trump won by accident, and I really have to stress that. Your listeners can find Donald Trump, the Accidental President, free online and also at Kindle. Trump was elected by accident, and the system didn't know how to beat it back. They made a desperate attempt with the Electoral College.
Oh, yeah, they did.
But the fact is, Donald Trump is president of the United States of America. He's a legitimately elected president, but he's also a fringe president. 26% voted for him. What Donald Trump does not have right now is the wild-eyed iconoclasts that know how the system works and know how to break the back of the two-party tyranny. Those are the people that Rents Priebus is not letting him hear from.
Is Trump going to be uttering the words, I'm speaking rhetorically here, you're fired, very often in terms of key people? Let's say Tillerson doesn't do the job he wants. Tillerson's threatening China. He says you will not be able to build any more of your artificial islands, nor will you be able to access the ones you've already built. Now that's war. And if he does that, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chinese immediately launch an invasion of Taiwan and turn Kim loose on South Korea.
Well, I don't know. I think they're all smarter than that.
That wasn't a smart statement, in my view, but look, yeah, Tillerson's.
There's all kinds of rhetoric, and there's also people say things that they've prearranged. In other words, the Chinese know that Tillerson is going to say that.
I was thinking that many times that you tip off the opposition, get ready, we're going to be saying this.
Yeah,
doesn't mean anything.
Nothing is too easy to do. Nothing is ever what it appears to be. What concerns me right now is that Donald Trump is being sandbagged. He's being sandbagged by his own chief of staff.
Well, we've called that pretty clearly. So have you in this hour. And I think
so
we need to watch it.
So that's the one guy I would like to see fired.
Well, let's see if Mr. Trump can make changes. It'll be very interesting. We'll talk about Mike Pence more next time, perhaps, and the Wisconsin Mafia, that gang of three, Rat Ryan, Governor Walker, and Reince Priebus. There's your three, and we will see. Thank you very much, Robert. Terrific hour, as always.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeff. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, good night. Okay, that's hour one for you. All right? We will be right back, and we are going into some very eclectic and unusual areas next with Mr. Bill Tompkins.